Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Monday, May 3rd, 2021. I am Dave Biddle. I am very happy to be joined by Patrick Murphy. A lot to get into, Patrick. We're going to talk a lot about the draft from Ohio State's perspective, 10 Buckeyes taken in the NFL draft. But before we get to that, the Buckeyes landed a commit kind of out of the blue yesterday. Kai Stokes, 6'2", 185-pound safety in the 2022 class, kid out of Sefner, Florida. Now, right now, Bucknutters, he's a three-star prospect. You might want to take a picture of that because that's not going to last for long. He's going to be a four-star before you know it. Just since April 12th, Patrick, he's gotten offers from Ohio State, obviously, Alabama, Notre Dame, Georgia, Florida, LSU, and others. So it's just a classic case of, you know, this is a very early ranking. Now we see his offer list. It's a kid that's blowing up, so will not be a three-star for long, and looks like a good get for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, it's funny in recruiting how this works, right? When, you know, a player who maybe, you know, hasn't been seen by as many of the analysts or whatnot, teams start coming after him. All of a sudden that ranking starts to change, as you alluded to. And it seems like that will be the case here. Yeah, I think it sounds like a good get from everything I understand. You know, an athletic kid, sounds like he's going to, as you said, end up at safety when he gets to Ohio State, but plays both sides of the ball now and does so successfully for his high school. So, yeah, I think, you know, when you're Ohio State, you got in here recently with him, offered him a scholarship just a handful of days ago, but it sounds like he likes what he heard from Ohio State. Obviously, this class lost a commitment recently, Desaun McCullough going to Indiana. And while in a ranking standpoint, this doesn't necessarily make up for that, I think by the time all's said and done, these two will look more comparable. So, you know, a good move for the Buckeyes. And obviously they're still going to be in on some other guys at that position as well. Recruiting really opens back up this June and people are allowed back on campus, there'll be some guys coming that could also play safety for the Buckeyes. So I don't think this shuts down the door for that recruiting spot at all. I think they'll probably add a couple guys in this class at that position.
I always love tapping into the state of Florida as well. It's something that Ohio State does, you know, at least once or twice every year, it seems. And it's been going on for a long time. Obviously, Urban ratcheted that up. It also helps that Mark Pantone is a Florida native, born and raised in Sarasota, and then went to Florida as a Florida graduate. So, in fact, I think his first time leaving the state of Florida, other than on vacation, was when he took the job here at Ohio State. He was a Florida guy all the way through. Now he's a Columbus guy all the way through. So I love tapping into the state of Florida. All right, let's get into the NFL draft and some reactions here. Obviously, 10 Buckeyes taken. That was great because it tied for the most with Alabama. So that was really cool. Let's start with Justin Fields to the Bears at 11. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. What do you think about the Bears trading up? What do you think about that fit for Fields? And just overall, what do you think about that pick?
I think if a team is willing to trade up, especially to get a quarterback, but really at any position, you know, I think that shows that they really like the guy, you know, and obviously have done their homework. And they gave up quite a bit to move up to 11, including a first round pick next year. So, you know, clearly they liked what they saw. The Bears general manager was talking afterwards. He's seen Fields play a couple times in person, including that Michigan game 2 years ago in Ann Arbor, where Fields left the game injured, came back and threw that pass to Garrett Wilson. The Bears also had people at Fields, both Fields pro days that he did at the Woody. So, you know, got a good look with him. Coach Matt Nagy, the head coach there, knows Ryan Day. They played against each other in college. Then they both came up as offensive coordinators and quarterbacks coaches. So even Ryan Day said they've been talking between the two of them about Justin Fields for the last couple of years. So clearly the Bears knew what they were getting in Justin Fields. Obviously, it's an interesting situation and probably a good one. Your old buddy Andy Dalton is the Bears quarterback. And as they said, he's going to remain the starter. So Fields doesn't have the pressure of going in there day one and being the guy in Chicago, which I think is probably a good thing. As much as I thought in the pre-draft process, all the reading defenses and stuff was dramatically overblown, I do think Fields could use a little bit of time to learn the NFL offense and just kind of adjust. And, you know, I wrote about this over the weekend. Matt Nagy was the offensive coordinator for Kansas City when they drafted Patrick Mahomes in 2017. Obviously that year, Alex Smith was the starter. He played all but one game at the end of the season when everything was wrapped up. Patrick Mahomes comes in and the rest is history. He's an MVP and, you know, a Super Bowl champion. That's not to say the exact same thing will happen with Fields. Obviously it'd be great to watch if it did, but Matt Nagy has been through this before and some of the other members on this staff. So probably a good situation all in all for Justin to land in. And obviously he's not going far, just headed over to Chicago.
The Mahomes point is a good one, and it throws a monkey wrench into something that I've said for years. I've said, if you take a quarterback in the first round, you need to start him right away. And there's been exceptions. Carson Palmer is another exception with the Bengals. They started John Kitna for the first year. I don't think they needed to do that. Now, here's what I've always pointed to. I've always said, look at Peyton Manning and look at Troy Aikman. They came in and got their ass kicked as rookies, but they both said it was great for them because then look what happened. You know, then they just went on a rampage after that. They kind of got got it out of their system. But there is two ways to look at it. And you could say you don't want a guy to get in there and lose his confidence. I've always said, though, if you lose your confidence just because, you know, you're in the NFL and you thought you're going to come in and set the world on fire, you're probably not the guy anyway. If you're going to lose your confidence that early, just because some things go wrong as a rookie. So you're probably not mentally strong enough anyway. So I've always been a guy that says, start them from day one. And they're having this debate on ESPN, you know, just a little bit before we came on, I noticed they were talking about this, if Fields should start right away or not. So I'm going to stick with my guns and say that Fields should start right away. But the Mahomes thing does give me pause because, like I've said, I've always given the examples of Peyton Manning and Troy Aikman and others. But the Mahomes one is – now, who knows? Mahomes could have come in and, you know, been great as a rookie. We don't know. The one game he played as a rookie, he did look good. So we don't know. But that is and Andy Dalton would be a good bridge quarterback. I know Andy Dalton – I don't know him personally, but I know his game well from being a Bengal fan. I think Fields should start from day one. What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in and earns that job. And they did not shut the door on that. You know, they just said the plan is for Andy Dalton to be the starter. And, you know, when you sign a guy to a one-year contract, clearly there was a plan in place before they realized they could draft Justin Fields. I think obviously we'll hear more as we get closer to the season, but I think he should certainly have a chance to fight for the job. I don't think, like you said, you don't draft a guy that early to just sit him. Unless, you know, it works out, and I think Fields is talented enough. You know, even Ryan Day said all quarterbacks need to be developed, when they get to this level, but he believes Justin's talented enough, good enough. He'll learn, put in the work, that type of thing. So it would not surprise me if the talk shifts a bit more as we get closer to the season. And then say they do start Andy Dalton, you know, there's always that one guy over the shoulder type of thing. It'll happen throughout the season. Every time Andy Dalton has a bad play, it'll be like, put Justin in and stuff like that. And some coaches want to avoid that by just getting, like you said, getting the kid out there. So I think it'll be fun to watch. But, yeah, they didn't completely close the door. They just said Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback now. And we all know how talented Justin Fields is. And the kid hasn't really sat other than, you know, 1 year at Georgia. And even then he found his way on the field at times.
Yeah, the problem is, you know, they're, you know, Matt Nagy's fighting to save his job. He can't really afford a learning year like Peyton Manning had and Troy Aikman had. I mean, those guys had, Peyton Manning didn't, but Troy Aikman had a brand new coach with Jimmy Johnson when he was with the Cowboys. So it was like starting, you can afford to go 3-13 or whatever. The Cowboys were 1-15. I can't remember even how bad they were. They might've been like 1-15. And then they just took off from there. Same thing with the Colts. They were terrible. Like they were like 3-13 or something like that when Peyton Manning was a rookie. And obviously for those that are wondering, I'm not forgetting about Aaron Rodgers. I know they drafted him in the first round and he sat. They had Brett Favre though. Same thing with Jordan Love now. It's like, yeah, if you have the Hall of Fame quarterback there, different story. Andy Dalton, not a Hall of Fame quarterback. So get Fields in there, Bears. You know he's your guy. You know Andy Dalton is not your guy. You signed a one-year deal when you didn't even know if you're going to get Justin Fields. So Chicago Bears, do the right thing. Start Justin Fields from day one. You'll be happy you did it. All right. Tommy Togiai falling to the fourth round, although I think it's a good fit for him. And I don't think he was going to go anywhere. In fact, he was projected as a fourth rounder. So people like me saying he fell to the fourth round, it's really not accurate. Most people said he was going to go in the fourth round. I thought third round at best. And I thought if he fell to the fourth round, he'd be a steal. So kudos to the Browns, I guess. You guys had a great draft. You get Big Tom in the fourth round. I was hoping the Bengals would get him, but I think that's a good fit for Tommy. What do you think?
Agreed. And, you know, that's becoming one of the deeper defensive lines in the NFL right now. So, you know, similar to the Justin Fields talk, Togiai is not going to have to go in there and be an impact guy. I mean, obviously being drafted in the fourth round, you don't generally expect that. But I do think he's a guy who's going to go in there and have a really good career. You know, we obviously saw him develop year in and year out here at Ohio State. You know, he's a guy who, unlike a lot of guys in the past that, you know, put up big numbers on bench press or anything like that, he's athletic enough to play the position. He's not just a strong, you know, defensive tackle. He can do a lot of different things. We saw it against Penn State this past year when he got, I think that was the 3-sack game. So, yeah, I think the Browns got a good one. Yeah, like you said, I thought fourth round was probably accurate, but I could have seen somebody taking him earlier. And, you know, as he was falling there, it was, you know, looking, you know, you said you wish you would have fallen to the Bengals. I would have taken him on the Rams defensive line. So I think most people at that point would have. Good pick for the Browns, you know, just adding more talent to what looks like a really talented team.
You guys have a pretty good D tackle last time I checked.
Yeah, he's all right.
It's not too bad. That Aaron Donald guy. Yeah. All right, Sean Wade falling to the fifth round and relatively late in the fifth. There was talk he could fall to the fifth, but there was like then Urban would take him with the first pick of the fifth if he did, right? No. So he fell pretty late in the fifth round of the Ravens. Now, I think I hate saying this again about it. You know, one thing Browns, Bengals, and Steeler fans all can unite on is hatred for the Ravens. We hate the Ravens, but they draft well every year and it pisses me off. It really does. And they get a lot of Buckeyes too, like J.K. Dobbins and Malik Harrison and now Sean Wade. So I think it's actually a good fit for him, but man, late in the fifth round, I feel bad for him, man. Although he's going to a great franchise as much as I hate to admit it.
It's one of those situations to me where, you know, we knew he wasn't going to be the first round pick he was projected to be a year ago after the season he had. And we could go into why that was. But really, I think at that point, you knew he was going to fall. Now it's about getting on a team, proving yourself and getting to that second contract because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, he wasn't the first round talent that everyone thought he was going to be this past year. So like you said, a good fit in Baltimore, you know, they're already talking about how they're going to use him kind of the way he was used at Ohio State in 2019 is that slot corner can play some nickel, play some safety if they need him to. I honestly think Sean Wade has the ability to play that outside corner position. I just think 1 year making that switch and the year that he did with no real off season and no lead up to the regular season was a struggle. And you've seen guys at Ohio State who have struggled early on playing on the outside at corner and developed as they came along. Now, usually they don't do it as the number one corner like he did and get victimized by the likes of Indiana, Clemson, and Alabama. But I think he has that talent. You know, he wasn't the number two corner in the country behind only Jeff Okuda coming out of high school 4 years ago for no reason. So whether he ends up just being a slot guy or whether they do end up turning him into, you know, a number one corner, we'll see, but I think he's still a very good player. And, you know, I think, like you said, once again, the Baltimore Ravens get a Buckeye and a talented one.
Last thing, just what else stood out to you? Could be the, you know, 10 guys going overall. We talked about Fields. Obviously that stands out to you. What stood out to you? Maybe some of the guys that went late, maybe some of the guys that didn't go. What kind of stood out to you from the Buckeye standpoint with this draft?
Yeah, one that I really liked is Josh Myers going to the Green Bay Packers. Yes. You know, he was even asked about how well he knows Corey Linsley, who just left the Packers in free agency, has been Aaron Rodgers' center for years. So, you know, I think that's an interesting fit. Obviously, there's a lot of quarterback talk going on with the Packers right now, so we'll see who he's snapping the ball to. But I like that one a lot. I like Trey Sermon of the 40. Actually, I don't like Trey Sermon of the 49ers because that's a guy going out to the NFC West, and the 49ers really know how to use running backs, especially when they play the Rams. And he's a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield, as Ohio State fans saw this year. So those were two guys in kind of the middle rounds, or the, I guess, earlier rounds that I thought had good fits. We already touched on Togiai. Luke Farrell going 145 overall to the Jaguars surprised me. You know, he's a guy, I think we were talking about this on the front row during the draft. There's probably could have been there later. That's a guy who some people didn't even have being projected to draft him. And you mentioned Urban Meyer potentially taking Sean Wade. He took Luke Farrell ahead of Sean Wade. You know, so different needs and whatnot, but that one was one that surprised me. I also learned for the first time this weekend, and I'm a little ashamed to admit this. I did not know Luke Farrell was 29 years old. I missed that during his time at Ohio
I didn't know that either. What?
Yep. He is 29 and he apparently played baseball before coming to Ohio State. And that's why he's older. So that came up during the draft and I had never heard that before. I'm glad that you also didn't know that, because that makes me feel like a little bit better about doing my job.
I'm sitting here stunned. I had no idea. So, that's bad on us that we missed that. My God, 29. Yeah. And we knew about all the guys that, you know, that was always a big story with guys like Joe Bosserman and, you know, some of the, was it Cam Johnston? Ryan Pretorius, I think, was the one that was a little bit older too. Well, Cam Johnston was too. That was always a story with those guys. Bosserman, we knew about him playing baseball. And now the joke is about him, you know, decapitating people in the stands with his throws as a quarterback. But, wow, I never knew that. Luke Farrell, I don't know how that slipped under the radar. The fact that I thought he came straight from Perry to Ohio State. So he's playing minor league baseball there for a while. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Yep. He was with the Royals and Reds and Cubs and Rangers and Twins.
Very
prior to Ohio State. Yeah. But the last one I wanted to just touch on quickly is Jonathan Cooper, you know, going late to the Broncos. I just, you know, he's a guy, you covered him, I covered him, great kid. You know, probably didn't have the Ohio State career he wanted to, kind of overshadowed by a number of those defensive ends that were here that were, you know, top first round picks. But was able to come back for his fifth year and was productive. And so, you know, I was just glad to see him get drafted. Obviously he was tweeting a little bit during the draft as he was falling, but good to see a kid like that get drafted, and a Columbus kid as well.
Okay. I'm looking at the Luke Farrell page and this doesn't look like him. It looks like there's a different Luke Farrell.
Is there?
I don't know. They brought it up. Different Luke Farrell. I think somebody got this confused. I don't think it's the same guy. There is a Luke Farrell that played that's 29, but it doesn't look like him at all. I think it's a different guy.
In the draft.
Yeah, I think somebody had their information incorrect on that. Okay, I feel better now. You should too.
Okay, good.
You should too. We didn't miss that. Luke Farrell is not 29 years old, Bucknutters. I'm not going to cut any of this out too. This is just funny to me. We're both like, what in the heck? Whoever said that during the draft is wrong, but I can see why you'd mix this up, because there's two Luke Farrells, one guy who was a sixth round pick by the Kansas City Royals in 2013 and went to college at Northwestern. So he couldn't go to college at Northwestern and then go to Ohio. No. So two different guys. And I'm looking at his picture.
Luke Farrell tweeted 19 hours ago. So that was on Sunday. I am 23 years old. So there you go.
Okay. I was like him and Jake Hosman, I thought we're not only in the same recruiting class, I thought they were actually, like, you know, both graduated the same year in the state of Ohio, and they did. Okay. So we've solved this great mystery that Luke Farrell is not 29 years old and a former mediocre minor league baseball player.
I'm glad you solved that for me, because I was very surprised by that, but clearly didn't do my research after the fact.
This is why the show should be live, is funny stuff like this. Eventually, I think it will be. Bucknutters, eventually, a little foreshadowing there. Not anytime soon. Eventually, we might have a live show for you. And you'll get to hear hilarity like this all the time. All right. Well, great stuff from Patrick Murphy. Really appreciate it, Patrick. And thank you to our listeners out there for tuning into the show. We appreciate that very much. Hope everyone has a great day. Let's hear that Buckeye swag. Best damn band in the land. We'll be right back.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.